Amen. 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 My brothers and sisters, it is great, great to be here with you. Are you guys hearing me properly? You're here. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord gave me a word for you that is specific to your church. Do not fear. And as I said, it's taken from Psalm 23, verse 5. He prepares a table before me in the presence of his enemies. Just a quick review of the Psalm. Psalm 23 tells of the life of the sheep and its dependence upon the shepherd. Verses 1 to 3 tells how the shepherd provides for all of our needs, food, rest at the end of the day. He provides psychological and emotional rest and provide for the sheep when they are weary, and he provides for the tired sheep physically. Verse 4 to 5, the first part of 5, talks about our fears. The shepherd deals with our fears. The path through the valley, while the lion and the bear are in the mountains looking upon the sheep as they pass through, the enemies we face in life, the shepherd deals with our fears. The shepherd also deals with our health in verse 5, the second part of verse 5, how he anoints the head of the sheep with oil. And what you need to know, that that anointing of the sheep with oil is the shepherd is doctoring the sheep, putting oil on his eyes and on the nose and on the mouth and on the ears to keep the flies from resting upon the sheep. And if they do rest and lay eggs on the sheep, if the larvae would not go up into the nostrils or go into the ear that goes into the brain of the sheep, and would kill the sheep. It's a miserable death to the sheep. So when he anoints their head with oil, he's acting like a physician. And then lastly, the part where he talks about, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is speaking about the deep longing and desires of every human being. Our desires to live a good life, and when we die, to go to a good place where God is. So the Psalm 23 talks about how the shepherd cares for every aspect of the sheep. But today, my friends, we are living in a world that has become increasingly violent. People are doing and saying things which they would never have done or said years ago. Because of that, we are people are becoming more fearful. We are becoming more suspicious of each other. It is almost as if we are living in fear constantly. Fear of the COVID, fear of losing jobs, fear of terrorism, fear of mass shooting, fear of ethnic injustice and ethnic violence. How does a believer cope with all of this? Psalm 23 says that in the face of it all, he will provide for us because his presence casts out all fear. What does this passage of scripture teach us about coping with fear? It teaches us about the shepherd's presence. It teaches us in coping in prayer, it's about the shepherd's preparation. It teaches us about coping with fear. It has to do with the shepherd's protection, the shepherd presence. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It's not his enemies, our enemies. When we talk about that he is speaking of the shepherd here. We must remember that David the shepherd was using this as an analogy as he talked about the true shepherd, who is the Lord God, and what he, David, was to that shepherd. In this verse, he tells of the situation that the sheep is in at that moment in their life. Allow me to explain to you what was happening to the sheep at that point in their life. Every year, the shepherd had to take the sheep to a place where there was green grass, green pasture for them to eat. It was a journey they had to make twice a year. One going to the site and the other coming back from the site and returning to home base. On the journey to and fro, they had to pass through valleys at the base of very high mountains that at time would shut out the midday sun. These valleys would not only be dark, but at the same time, the sheep would hear coming out from the hillside of the mountain, the sound of lions, the sound of bear, the sound of wolves. These would follow these lions and bears roaring, and the hillside would follow the flock in hope that a chance would open up for them to grab a sheep or a lamb for their meal for the day. Now imagine the stress and fear the sheep would experience as they follow the shepherd, as he would lead them through that treacherous terrain. What is so amazing is the fact that they had to go. The sheep had no choice to say, listen, this is dangerous. This place, I know the lion and the bear in the mountain. I don't want to go. They had no choice. They had to go. They had to follow the shepherd. If the sheep was going to live through to another season, and if the shepherd had to add lambs to his flock in the spring, they all had to make the journey. The shepherd had to make the journey. The sheep had to make the journey. Please realize that the sheep, as they traveled through, they were fearful, just as we would be. Let me stop for a minute. You know, if we are true followers of Jesus Christ, and I want you all to hear me very clearly on this. If we are true followers of Jesus Christ, there are times he will take us through difficult situations. He will take us through difficult times. There are times, oh Lord, it seems like you want to say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you taking me through this? Why are you burdening me with this? When I came to you, I didn't sign up for this. But you got to realize, he was taking the sheep through dangerous places to get them to the place where they could be best taken care of. So sometimes, my brothers and sisters, as he's taking you through, he's taking you through, but his presence is always with you. And as a believer, our life will not always be pleasant. And I think this is where we get discouraged at times, because what we expect as believers is that we should never suffer. We should never have testing. We should never have trials. And I'm sure those sheep didn't bah, through that valley willingly. I am sure they didn't want to go, but they know they had to trust the shepherd to go on through. Please realize that the sheep, as they traveled too, they were fearful too, just as we are at times. What made the difference was the fact that the shepherd was present. He understood the need of the sheep, but he also knew the ways of the enemies and who were waiting to devour his sheep. He was prepared to fight for them. He was prepared to defend them. He was prepared to die for them. Verse 4 reminds us that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that he is the shepherd is present in all of his power to defend us. He is there to take us through. The older, more seasoned saints are more at rest in this situation, for they have made the journey before. But the new ones, who are making the journey for the first time, they will come to understand soon the peace and the assurance of the older sheep who have learned to trust the shepherd through these treacherous times. It is the presence of the shepherd that makes the difference. It is not the volume of the sheep in the flock. It is not the confidence that sheep may have had in their own strength to make it through, or even the fact that they have made this journey before, which is what we tend to do. We tend to think sometimes the more believers we have around us to support us, to carry us through, we're going to make it through. We ought, sometimes we think, oh, I've been here before. I'm a strong Christian. I'm a confident Christian. I'm going to make it through. Or sometimes we even believe, listen, I've been here before. I can sail on through. No, 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 no. The only way you make it through your difficult times, your fearful times, is to recognize that the presence of the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us. It is his presence, seeing him walking in front of us. It was his presence that when the sheep saw him there, that it gave them confidence. It gave them peace. It gave them comfort as they faced their fears in the presence of their enemies. Our verse 4 today reminds us that it is he, the shepherd, that prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. It is he that understands our prayers and prepare what we need to help us and protect us in the midst of our fears. I want to be honest and tell you why I'm bringing this message this morning. We all have seen what's happening in the Asian community. We all have seen it. People are fearful in the Asian community, fearful to walk the street, fearful to go to work, fearful to go to church. And we know why it's coming, but I'm going to talk about it a bit more. We in the Black community, we live it every day. Truth be told, talk to one of your Black co-workers and ask them about their experience. We face it every day when we walk the street. And we walk the street with confidence. Guess why? Because those of us who know Jesus Christ, we know that he walks with us. He walks before us. He walks beside us. He walks behind us. So when we leave our houses and our children leave our houses, we don't know who's coming back. But one thing we know is that when we walk with the Lord, he will protect us and watch over us. God gave me this message for OCM Grace today to tell you, do not fear. One, because his presence is with you. And as you go through, you're not going through alone. Hallelujah. But he encamps you about. What does this passage of scripture teach us about coping with fear? It teaches us about the shepherd's presence. And it teaches us about the shepherd's preparation. He prepares a table before us. There are two words I want to look at in Hebrew. If I start crying, please forgive me. This is a very emotional topic for me. Amen. Because I understand what's happening in the Asian community because we live it in the Black community. The Bible says, he prepares a table for us. There are two Hebrew words I'm going to look at. Arak and Nagat. Arak means to prepare, to arrange, or to set in order. And Nagat means in front of. The word nagat means conspicuously. So arak means the table that he's preparing. And I'll explain what the table is. You arrange things. You know, it's just like setting a dinner table. You arrange things. You put it in order so that when the person comes to the table, they can eat in peace. Now he's talking about sheep. You don't prepare a table for sheep to come and sit at the table and eat. But I'll explain it. But nagat means whatever is being done conspicuously. You know, you're doing it so that people can't see. One commentator interprets it this way. The Lord, you give me all I need to be respected and victorious in the face of my enemies. Let me read that for you again because I think it's powerful. Lord, you give me all I need to be respected and victorious in the face of my enemies. When the shepherd talks about preparing the table, he is speaking of it in this following manner. When the flock would have arrived at the grazing pasture of choice that he has chosen for them, the shepherd would make an enclosure of woven sticks and branches. And when it's finished, so it's usually a very large and round enclosure. So it takes some time. If he has helpers with him, they help him. When that is finished, he then goes into the enclosure, the pasture. Now the sheep hasn't gone in yet. He has just made that circle, you know, where they will be resting for the night or for the day or whatnot. Before the sheep goes in, he goes in and prepares the table. This is how he prepares the table. He goes in and he finds every bit of weed that would be poisonous to the sheep, and he plucks it out. He looks for burrows where worms may be, and he plucks it out. He looks for old dung that may be in there because maybe another group of shepherds came out. He throws those out. He looks for worms. He plucks them out. He looks for anything that can be of danger to sheep. And once he has prepared the table, meaning he has removed everything that would be of harm and danger to the sheep, then the table is now prepared. Then the table is now set that they can, he will bring them in and they can eat to their heart's leisure and know that there will be no harm or danger to them while they eat. That's what it means to prepare the table. So when that is finished, he brings the sheep in. And listen, all the time he's plucking out the nasty, the poisonous weeds. All the time he's plucking out the thorns from the pasture and trees. All the time he's digging up the worms or sealing up the holes and throwing them out. Guess what? All them nasty, greedy bears and lions and wolves up in the mountains watching him as he's preparing the table. But, oh my goodness, and they're watching him as he works. Arak, the Hebrew word, tells us that the shepherd was not only preparing, but how he was doing it. The shepherd was doing it conspicuously. He knew the enemies were looking on, and intentionally, he made a big show of doing what he was doing. He was showing off. He was intentional in caring and in providing for every need of the sheep. He did this not only for the benefit of the enemies who were looking on, but he was also doing it for the benefit of the sheep who were watching. His flock would observe him, all the trouble he was going through, all the trouble the shepherd went through just to make them safe. That too would put the sheep at peace in the midst of their fears. What you need to know is that when the shepherd would have completed the enclosure, he then leaves a small opening for the sheep to enter in after he had prepared the table for them. Once they were inside, he then placed his body across the entrance of the sheep pen. That is the final preparation step in the preparation to ease the fears of the sheep so that they can lie down and sleep. He makes it so that they can lie down without fear in green pastures. My brothers and sisters, as we who are of the ethnic, whatever they want, label they want to put us as we live in this country, we have to understand man cannot protect us. Sometimes the police cannot protect us because they never seem to be there when we are being attacked. Politics cannot protect us. As a matter of fact, sometimes they stir up the trouble even more. But what they need to understand is that we, the people of God, whether we black, we white, we Asian, we Latino, whatever we are the people of God. We know who we are and whose we are. You may not want to protect us. You may not think we are value. You want to meet us in the street and beat us down like we're animals. But we want you to know that the presence of God is with us. And the Lord is preparing a way to protect us in some way. Yes, he may use politics. Yes, he may use the police. Yes, he may use the law, but ultimately our protection comes from God. Hallelujah and amen. What we need to know is that the shepherd would lay his body across that entrance to protect us. Every lion, every bear, every wolf have to pass by him once he has prepared that place. What does this passage of scripture teach us about coping with fear? It teaches us about the shepherd's presence. We are not alone as he leads us. He goes with us. It teaches us about the shepherd's preparation. With our enemy looking on, he does all that is necessary to put things in place to ease our fears, even if he has to come and defend us physically. That is what the Lord is promising us. And our third point is the shepherd's protection. We have already established that the verse that comes before this verse, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then comes a verse, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Pastor John, as I researched, I saw that the Hebrew word arak, to prepare, had another meaning. It tells us that it tells one aspect of the meaning of this word is to draw up your battle lines, prepare your battle lines. So the word arak, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Pastor John, it really shocked me to see the meaning of that word, where it says it also means to prepare your battle lines. What it is saying is that it is telling us that while the shepherd is preparing the table in the presence of our enemies, he was also indicating to them, the enemy, that he was preparing for and prepared for war to protect his own. If you don't believe me, let's remember 1 Samuel, where King David said to King Saul when he was about to go into war, 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a sheep from my flock. I went out after that lion and bear and I attacked it, rescued my sheep from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I grabbed it by the mane, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God. So when David is writing that he prepares a table in the presence of his enemies, he's using this word arak to mean, I am drawing up the battle lines. So all of you sitting up in the mountains, watching down at my sheep, and your deer come and touch one of them, I'm gonna take you out. In other words, saints of OCM Grace, we are his. We are in his presence. His presence is with us. He is prepared to comfort us. He will protect us. In this preparation, he made the sheep aware that he has the tools to protect him. My rod and my staff, he said, they will comfort you. But more than that, he was prepared for battle on their behalf. And the enemy looked on as he prepared. It was a warning, as if God was saying, if you come after those who are mine, there will be a fight. You may be saying, oh, Pastor Donna, I am hearing what you're saying, but I've seen believers attacked by their enemies, killed by their enemies. Where is God in the midst of this? I agree with you. I agree with you. And if you were to understand one thing, Christians are the most persecuted in the world. It's not the Jews. It's not the Muslims. It's not any other religion. Christians are the most persecuted in the world. But we got to remember, my brothers and sisters, this may be the hard part of walking as a man and woman of God. But do you remember where Jesus said in John 15, 18 to 20, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is no greater than his master. In the U.S., in the United States of America, there seems to be a spirit in the society that at various times an ethnic group is attacked and vilified to the point that people become fearful just to walk the streets. It has been the experience of Black Americans from the day people were brought here from Africa. It has been the experience of Latinos when they were called rapists, drug dealers, and immigrants coming here to take our jobs. Now, it is the attack upon the Asian community because a former president used the Asian community to cover his failure in dealing, in properly dealing with the COVID virus. Now, do not think that whites are exempt from being vilified. When the Irish first came to America, and they flooded into America because of the potato famine, they were horrified too. They were rejected. They were discriminated against until they assimilated. Then it stopped. The Italians went through the same thing. The Italians at one point weren't even considered white. At one point, they called all Italian mafiosos. This kind of societal attacks affects people to the point that they become fearful just to live. But Jesus said, reminded, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me. If you belong to the world, it would love you. That is why the world hates you. Remember, I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted you, they will persecute. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. The people who are attacking us, they are not believers. Half of them are psychopaths. They're crazy. And because of the rhetoric that they hear in the media constantly about Black people, about Latino people, about Asian people, these psychopaths hear it, and then they run out and start attacking people. Where do homeless people hear about all this rhetoric? Where and how that all of a sudden this has stirred up? But my brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. We know who we are and we know whose we are. The Lord will be with you, his presence. And remember, he is preparing as you go through that valley of the shadow of death. And remember, he will protect you if he has to use his rod and his staff to protect you. The scripture says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Cast your cares upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. The Lord said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord says in Isaiah, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and say to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Oh God, the book of Psalms said, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me, he is my helper. Proverbs says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Last one, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and he freed me from all my fears. I bind in the name of Jesus Christ every spirit of fear that is trying to come upon you. I bind it in the name of the Father. I bind it in the name of the Son. I bind it in the name of the Holy Spirit. We know who we are and whose we are. We do not serve a weak God. We serve the God who is almighty, the God who is righteous, the God who is awesome, the God who is powerful. So when anybody comes near you, you open your mouth and begin to call upon the name of the Lord. When Satan comes in one way, the Lord will send them scattering seven different ways. That is the right of the people of God. Hallelujah. We do not live in fear. We serve an awesome God. God sent me with that message, particularly for you all today. Because don't think the Lord does not see and the Lord does not understand. But we live in a country that this thing tends to cycle. And you got to understand, when it comes to your door, you stand strong. And you know that the Lord will be, his presence will be with you. He already has things prepared to deal with the enemy. But more than that, he will protect you. His presence, he's prepared, and he'll protect. I hope this encourages you today. I hope it does, my brothers and sisters. And I want you to know, I know, because we in the Black community, we live it almost every day. May God go with you. I pray for my brothers and sisters at OCM Grace Church. May the peace of the Lord be always upon you. May he surround you, beset you before and behind. May his protection watch over you as you come in and as you go out. May everyone live out the full extent of their years. May none of their future be bankrupted. I pray that everybody, that their children, their children's children will be the top and never the bottom, the first and never the last, the head and never the tail. We thank you for what you're doing in the Asian community, oh God, and how you're rising them up to speak out for themselves, because nobody is going to vilify them because of how God created them. Thank you, God. I pray a blessing upon them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.